Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out, bro! This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name is John Romano, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Dave Palumbo. Dave, it's the happy 4th of July weekend, and I'm sure, knowing you guys up there on Strong Island, you've blown half the place up by now.
We're blowing JoJo energy drinks and Progenix screw taps, screw off tops, and ALR porn stars into the air and blowing them up for the 4th of July.
Yeah, well, I have the T-shirt on now for ALR, and I'm wondering if I get caught blowing something up with some kind of firework that we're not supposed to have up here, that if it would reflect badly on the king.
I don't know. Well, Orin Silver, who works backstage at some of the shows as an expediter, and he has his own show, The Empire States, in a couple weeks, came over to my house with a box. Actually, I should say a cooler full of fireworks. Now, it looked like he was ready to invade a small country with the stuff he had. I'd never even seen some of the things in this box. Mortars and crazy stuff. Now, when you were a kid, when you remember when you used to blow fireworks off, you'd put firecrackers in the street. A Blockbuster was like a big thing if you had one of those. You'd blow up a garbage can with it or something like that. To me, those little things that spin, that turn color in the street, remember they would spin in the street?
Yeah.
That was fireworks to me when I grew up, and I loved it. I was like a little pyromaniac, like every little boy is. I mean, I had in my backyard like Gucci fireworks. This kid was blowing shit off. The neighbors were out of the house watching.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because when I was a kid, too, we had the big thing was in cherry bombs, M80s,
right,
the Blockbusters, like you're talking, and the packs of fireworks, bottle rockets, and Roman candles, and that was it.
Right. You know? Roman candle was a big thing.
Roman candles were a big thing. And I remember we had an M80 that the fuse, it became a dud, and there was about a 16th of an inch of a fuse left, and it was like a 3-day debate over this thing of how we were going to light this thing, you know, to get it to blow up. And it ended up being my uncle came up with the solution, where he put it in a piece of newspaper and twisted it up, and he lit the newspaper on fire. But at the last second, he takes this plastic garbage can and puts it on top, and he tells us, oh, the garbage can's going to shoot up to the moon. You know, we're all little kids. So we're standing there behind the wall, and the thing explodes like, you know, M80 is a quarter of a stick of dynamite, and the entire garbage can disintegrated.
Really?
There was just nothing left of it. Just disappeared.
Holy shit.
We loved it. We've been talking about that our entire lives.
You're still talking about it, obviously.
Still talking about it. But today, I mean, Max and I were driving past one of the tents, you know, where they sell. We're up at my parents' house, which is out of Broward County, you know, where they're a little bit more lenient with the fireworks restrictions. And you can buy, I just, half price. They're selling everything for half price today. And we bought these mortars. I can't wait to go shoot them off later. I never even knew that you could buy those as a private citizen.
That's what we had. This kid had, it looked like, I'm serious, like Gucci. Now, Colette, I didn't realize it was such a little pyromaniac. She was actually down by the dock with him, lighting him. I was up close to the house, because I know better than to get anywhere near very overzealous people with fireworks. So she was helping him like set the whole thing up and open up the packages and stuff like that. So everything was going pretty good. And then all of a sudden he lit off. He's like, I'm going to light five at a time off. You know, I said, you sure that's a good idea? Yeah. I'm going to light five at a time off. So he lights them off, and one of them, I guess, was didn't shoot up as far as it should have, because the mortar he had in was too wide, I think, and it was creating turbulence. The thing must have blown up about 2 feet over his head, him and Colette's head. It was like a shower, a meteor shower coming down on them. I said, all the people standing around me, I said, you see, that's why I didn't go down there and light those things.
Well, as usual, we have, you know, parallel situations that occur in our lives. And a similar situation last night, we were shooting off I was able to get these certain kind of firework that wasn't legal in Broward County, but it's basically a glorified Roman candle. It shoots up and then a kind of a little explosion, you know, up in the sky, and it's a little platform thing, and it's got one in the middle and four around the perimeter. And the first one went up, and when it went up, it knocked the thing over. It knocked the thing over pointing up my parents' driveway, and the succeeding four of them shot at us.
Oh, shit.
One hit the garage and blew up. The other one hit the neighbor's house and blew, because it would spin every time it shot off because it was off balance.
Oh, my God.
And I'm seeing my poor 82-year-old father standing there in the driveway wondering if one of those balls is going to shoot and hit him in the cane. I don't know, man. It was terrible.
That's a good way to go out, I guess, if you're going to go, right?
Oh, man. And, of course, he was the original pyromaniac in the family, so it would have been okay, I'm sure. But
so my backyard survived. He didn't, Warren didn't blow the whole thing up, as I suspected it might be, although there was a hell of a lot of smoke back there, that's for sure.
Isn't there a ton of, like, confetti, you know, burnt paper all over the place?
The good ones don't. Well, he put it right on the edge of the dock, so there was kind of like the dock and then the water. You know, I have like a little dock that kind of walks away from the, that even goes out further into the middle of the canal a little
right.
bit. And so I think everything blew into the water. But, you know, it was all over. I mean, you could see that the richer the neighborhood, the more fireworks they had. It was pretty funny. If you look to your left, there's a ton of them. To your right, there wasn't so many. But
it was funny.
I had a good time. And then I went to a, I did something I hadn't done in a very, very long time. I went to a movie, a midnight movie by myself, because no one would go see Star Trek with me. Jeff was out of commission yesterday, and because Sarah got sick. And so I was all by myself. Diego had already seen it, and Colette was making excuses why she didn't want to go. She kept delaying me. Finally, I said, I'm going to the midnight show. And I drove there myself. It was funny because I was reminiscing about the, you know, back in 2002 or 3, that's about the time I used to go to clubbing, you know, about midnight, you know.
Right.
And I was passing all the clubs, and I'm like, I'm going to the movie. So I walk into the theater for Star Trek. I'm the only one in there.
That had to be awesome. You had like the whole theater to yourself?
Yep. No one in there. I was screaming out loud. I was laughing. I had my popcorn and my water bottles spread all over the place. It was great.
Man, I would have gone with you.
I know you would have. I actually liked the movie. I really, really, I give it a three. I give it 3.5 stars.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was really, I enjoyed it.
I heard the special effects were all incredible.
Well, you know, they got those down pat, but I actually liked the story. I actually liked the whole idea of going backwards and explaining what happened and how Captain Kirk came about. I thought they did a good job with it. So.
Is he in it, William Shatner?
No, but Leonard Nimoy is in it. Spock is in the movie.
Oh, really? I wonder why Shatner wasn't.
Well, it wasn't. It's about them when they're kids, you know.
Ah.
So the Nimoy thing is a little, it's a part of the story. I don't want to ruin it for anyone. So
yeah, no, I want to go see it.
Anyway, today I decided that, you know, since we travel so much during the summer and I never got a chance to use it, I decided I've been using the jet ski. I took the jet ski out yesterday. I took the jet ski out today. When you get here, we got to get you a jet ski too. Because
I'll put it in the dock in my house up the street.
That's right. I took Jeff's girlfriend Sarah out on the jet ski too. I don't think she's ever been on one, and we got stuck. Got stuck in the mud, in the muck. I had to get out and drag the ski like the 25 feet, and so then we started putting along, and I realized that the intake is clogged with seaweed now. So I got to jump out into the water, you know, with my shoulders. So I'm like, oh boy, I hope I can get back on the jet ski. I'm thinking to myself, you know. So I got to get into the water. I got to pull all this the stupid seaweed out, and then I get back on there and we start going. I'm like, all right, go fast now because we got to get the rest of anything that's in there to get flushed out. So she starts going fast, and all of a sudden we get pulled over by the bay constable, speeding.
What do they drive?
They have one of those like the, I don't know. They look like little. They almost like flotation. They look like inner tubes with like a big, huge, two freaking outboard engines on it. The things are fast. You cannot outrun those guys.
You know, my brief little stint in the sailing world when I was on Dennis Connor's Stars and Stripes team for the back in 95, they had these little tender boats, and they were like a rubber raft, you know, with pontoon raft with like 3 500 horsepower motors on there. They were the most insanely fast things I've ever seen in my entire life.
What did they use those for?
They they raced in two boat teams. Each team had two boats when we practiced, and you know, one would race against the other. And you know, there was a tender boat, and then these little you know, speed boats. And the speed boats would do things like, you know, grab, you know, a couple guys off a tender boat and shoot them out to the race boat or to the, you know, the secondary boat, or shuttle people back and forth, bring people back from to the compound, back out to the boat. They were just for shuttling around. If you didn't want to waste, they didn't want to waste time, you know, going in the boat. So these boats would go like 80 miles an hour across the water, and these little rubber, you know, like a rubber raft.
That's exactly what they had. Yeah, that's exactly what they use.
Insane. Those things are so fast.
So they let us go on a warning. I think they recognized who I was when I showed them my ID. and they're like, she needs a license. And they have this new thing now. You have to take a boating course. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I said, she's from Brooklyn. They don't even have water where she's from. I said, are you crazy? They were laughing.
Now, doesn't your sergeant's card or the little badge get you out of the water? Does that only work for land cops?
I actually, one of the guys who was on the water patrol, I actually did his diet. He lost 80 pounds, and he won some Biggest Loser contest that was at the gym where I work out. And I thought he was the one pulling me over, like as a practical joke. And I threw his name out. No one said anything when I said it, but maybe it registered because they didn't give us a ticket or anything like that. So,
oh, that's cool.
I was ready to get on my cell phone and call him, but you know, they let us go. So they were pretty cool about the whole thing. And, yeah, that was my excitement for the day.
So what's Jeff doing while she's out on the boat?
Jeff was working his butt off.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
How's your butt feel, Jeff?
Oh, it feels pretty. I was just rubbing it just now when you mentioned that.
Did a genie pop out?
Well, no, but later it might, you know.
Now, I didn't even tell Jeff this next little tidbit I wanted to give you, John, before we get to the news segment. But you know about it. I got an email, Jeff, from a guy in, I think, Sweden. He wanted my permission to tattoo John and my picture on his body with the Heavy Muscle Radio logo. Now, I'm not making this up, okay?
I know. Is that insane or what?
That's cool.
Awesome. I love it.
He loves doing he has all these portraits. He has like something like 225 tattoos or something, portrait tattoos on his body. So we're going to be added onto his wall of fame or hall of fame or skin of fame, whatever you want to call it.
That's awesome. Did he pick which logo he wanted to use?
I guess he's going to use the Heavy Muscle Radio one.
The one where John looks like a slummy Puerto Rican?
No, I didn't show him that one. We don't have that one.
Don't show him that one. It's like I spent the summer in Buchenwald.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
One.
I'm thinking about blowing that up for the wall of our office, you know.
But what an honor. I think I feel like we've turned a corner in our notoriety. Yeah. When people want to tattoo our images on their body, I think that's pretty amazing.
I told him to do take a video of it and send us pictures. So
he's going to go on our wall. We're gonna take a picture of him and blow it up and put it on our wall in the studio. Are you kidding
that's
me?
Pretty funny.
What an honor.
Maybe Derek will do the same thing after, just to, you know, show him that he's just as nuts as this guy is.
I tattooed on my fucking balls.
Put John's head on one ball, Dave's head on the other ball.
And then we get Julianne in the middle.
Now, Derek, you're not talking about Julianne too much anymore.
Yeah, that's right. The fucking name I just said wasn't Julianne, right, John? Get your fucking ears unclogged.
But before that, I mean, you haven't been, you know, what's up with Julianne?
Listen, I got fucking other things to talk about, you know? I make a lot of fucking money. I drive a fucking Corvette. I went to fucking Neptune's for the 4th. Nobody fucking asked me what I did for the fucking 4th. Fucking haters.
You know who did come over? Diego brought his came over with his beautiful girlfriend.
She's very beautiful. Don't you forget that one.
Diego's girlfriend is allergic to spices, John. Did you hear that? Yes, yeah. So
how could that possibly be?
This is funny. Now, this is a true story too, because before they got there, I sat down to eat. Colette was all excited. You know, she made this, working on this little barbecue feast she was making the whole day, and orange silver barbecued the food, and she made this salad with like everything in it, like tomatoes and beans and macadamia nut oil and goat cheese, and it looked like a meal in itself. So I started eating this salad, and I'm like, holy shit, this stuff's hot. I said, what'd you put in here? She said, well, I overspiced it a little bit. You know, she gets a little too hung up and starts putting too many ingredients in, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I ate it. It was good anyway. So I ate it anyway. But so Diego's girlfriend comes over, and they're filling their plates with food. And I'm telling him, yeah, it's a little spicy. He's like, oh, my girlfriend's allergic to spices. I'm like, ah, what are you, whatever. Spices? What are you talking about? Nah. I said, well, she better stay away from the salad. I said, and he's like, nah, she'll be able to eat the salads. They're not that bad. So after like 5 minutes, her throat starts closing off.
You know? Oh, my God, really?
She's getting itchy. You know?
Oh, shit.
I have to clean my girlfriend.
Can I try to kill a girlfriend, basically? Yeah. That's what it
is. You see, it was the goat cheese.
Diego, there's easier ways to get rid of your girlfriend.
I don't want to get rid of her. She's very beautiful and I love her very much. She just doesn't like my spice.
Diego's getting ready for a show in the fall. I don't know if you're aware of that, John.
Oh, I did not know that. Oh, yes, I did know that. He sent me pictures.
I think him and Sean Andros are going to be competing against each other.
Wow.
I started my diet last year at 72 weeks out.
Just in case.
Exactly. Well, we got to take a little break here, John. When we come back, we're going to do the news.
All right. See you in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements. The science of sports nutrition has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com. The only supplement site you'll ever need.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RxMuscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
This is Kevin Lavroni, and you're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio, baby, with Dave Palumbo and John Romano.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. My name is Dave Palumbo. I'm hanging out here in the studio with Jeff, the producer, and my co-host in crime, John Romano. And John, I got to just say thank you out to our sponsors, because without them, obviously, we wouldn't even have a job. So thank you to JoJo Energy Drink, ALR Nutrition, and of course, Progenics. Now, funny thing about ALR, a lot of guys have been telling me that, you know, I guess after Arthur L. Ray was telling them on the air that it's good to drink the, I guess, Prance Chained, the Chained Out product, during cardio, while you're actually doing cardio. A couple of guys have tried it and actually like the results.
Really?
So, yeah, I thought I'd throw that out there. You know, I think if you're close to a show, like within a couple of weeks, and you got to lose a lot of weight, I don't recommend doing it, because it does slow the weight gain down, or the weight loss down a little bit. But if you're cruising along and making good gains and it's not affecting you, it's probably a good adjunct to help you recover a little better.
I just love the way that stuff tastes, that apple flavor. I drink it constantly. Mm.
Well, speaking of good flavors, JoJo Energy Drink is finally talking to me some business, because I've been asking them. I want to distribute the drink. I told them, look, everyone's emailing me how to get this stuff. You know, it's only sold right now in the tri-state area here. I told them I'd start distributing it on RX Muscle. So I think next week we're going to meet, and hopefully I'll have my warehouse stocked with the JoJo Energy Drink, and we'll sell it by the case online for these guys.
You know, that's an awesome it's an awesome bit of news, because I've been getting the same thing from my people. I've been getting emails and texts and, you know, PMs about a JoJo Energy Drink. Every time they hear us talk about it and how cool it is to twist the top and the color changes and all of that, and they want to get some. And, you know, if you're fortunate enough to live on Long Island in the tri-state area, you can get your hands on this stuff. But we have fans all over the world, and they want it too. So this is awesome.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's a very good idea on their part.
Yep.
At least until they have, you know, distributors all over the country at this point. It'd just be easier for me to ship right from the warehouse. So.
Yeah, it'd be good for us, man.
Yeah. No, I want to get this stuff in people's hands. It's a good product, and, you know, it's like one of the few energy drinks that I really believe in, because of the fact that it's balanced with the, you know, the right phytonutrients and minerals. So
right.
I like it. On another note, I was talking to Dr. Scott Conley the other day, and you know, his appearance on the show, where we were talking about super obese people, was really popular. I got a lot of good emails and feedback from that. And so we're going to have him back on, I think, either next week, probably 2 weeks after the USA Championships. And I got another very exciting topic to talk about that I'm not going to unveil yet. So
all right,
let's just say thank you for Progenics and their sponsorship. And let's get on with the news, because I got a lot of news to talk about, John.
It's time for the news on Heavy Muscle Radio.
I was reading the other day, you know, I have a personal interest in diabetes, because my lovely fiance Colette has type 1 diabetes, so I'm always keeping my eye out on the news. And they actually developed a vaccine, John, for type 1 diabetes. Did you hear about this?
Are you serious?
Yeah, they actually, you know, in type 1 diabetes, what happens is the body's immune system attacks the pancreatic cells, the beta cells specifically, and it prevents them from producing insulin. So obviously, because of that, the diabetic needs to inject insulin for the rest of their life.
Right.
What they did was they created some kind of a vaccine. There's actually three different ones out there where these vaccines will actually attack or attenuate these T cells, which are the immune cells, and prevent them from attacking the pancreatic cells. Now, if you do that on someone who's recently diagnosed with diabetes, you can actually stop the process of destruction of these pancreatic cells, and you can actually, you know, they can actually never have to use insulin.
Wow.
Which is interesting. Now, in people who've already had diabetes for a long time, getting rid of these immune cells won't restore insulin production. However, if moving forward down the road, they ever did stem cell, you know, replacement, where they actually put in new pancreatic cells, the problem with this has been, at least in the research, was that as soon as you put these new cells in, the body's immune system destroys them again.
Right.
So this is a huge, huge leap, I think, in diabetes treatment. Probably the biggest jump in the history of the disease. So
sure it is. It's incredible. To think that one day they would have a vaccine for diabetes is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So there's a couple of companies out there competing with each other. MacroGenetics, Eli Lilly, who we also know makes growth hormone.
Right.
And Tolerex and GlaxoSmithKline. So I think this is a good step. Once the drug companies get involved, that usually means that there's something viable out there. So
this is great news for Krispy Kreme.
Exactly. And they got a whole new customer base back
there. Yeah, load up. Nothing can happen now.
That's right. Right. Now, I read another interesting article about sex, John. And you know how they always tell guys that are trying to get their wives pregnant, or maybe not their wives pregnant, that they shouldn't have as much sex? Like, you know, you should only do it when you want to conceive.
Right.
Because are you going to water down your sperm or something like that?
You just use it up, yeah.
Right. Well, they did a study where they found that more sex actually makes the sperm better quality. In other words, the more time, I guess when you get rid of it, your body has to replace it. There's a lot of, I guess, damaged sperm that kind of swim around in there, and that the quality of the sperm increases the more sex you have. So, all you guys out there trying to get your wives pregnant, have fun, man. Don't
maybe
let
that's
her
why
tie.
I just maybe that's why I've just looked at my past two wives and they've gotten pregnant.
Luckily, I haven't had any problems getting anyone pregnant during my lifetime. Jeff, you got any random babies floating around?
I think my sperm's all dead right now.
That's good.
They all committed suicide.
That's a good thing, I guess.
It's good. It's one less argument women have against having sex. So that's great.
It's true. Now, I posted on the RX Muscle message boards a case where a woman tried to do plastic surgery on herself. Did you see this, John?
I've been at my folks' house for the weekend, so no, I haven't even checked the site.
She ordered a $10 vial of liquid silicone online from one of these research places, supposedly.
Wait, a $10 vial?
Yeah, $10 they cost. They're real. Liquid silicone is very cheap.
And how much silicone does one get for $10?
Probably a 10cc bottle.
Wow.
And she decided she was going to inject it into her lips and her cheeks. Because I guess when she went to the plastic surgeon, it was going to be real expensive to do it, so she decided she'd do it herself.
Is this a classic case of you get what you pay for?
Without, this woman ruined herself. I put the pictures are up on the RX Muscle Forums message boards there. You got to see these pictures, John. This woman looks like a complete freak. Then, after I posted that on the board, one of our listeners and one of our fans emailed me a better picture of another woman who's obsessed. She didn't do it to save money. She's just obsessed with plastic surgery. She injected the equivalent of what Greg Valentino injected into his arms into her face.
Get out.
I'm telling you. Jeff, did you see this picture?
I saw the one that you're talking about. Yeah, the woman, she looks like the Joker, and like it looks like she got hit with like a pizza or something like that.
She went back to try to get them to fix her face. They took 60 like liters of like oil out of her face or something like that.
Are you kidding me?
It looks like Greg's arm, her whole face. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
You know, it's funny. There was a in Mexico. There was a woman performing cosmetic plastic surgery, you know, injections of you know, whatever it was supposed to be, and they nicknamed her Mata Belleza, which, as Jeff will tell you, means the beauty killer. And what she actually injected motor oil into women's lips and various chin, face, whatever. And she had gone on this spree, and these women were getting nasty infections and all kinds of crazy things happening. And they actually put her in prison for life.
Good, they should. This woman was injecting cooking oil
into her face.
Yeah. John, I'm telling you, she started out looking like a pretty decent looking Asian woman. Or of Asian descent, in some capacity. When she was done, she looked like a sumo wrestler. Her face.
But 60 cc? Did you say 60 cc?
Yeah. That wasn't all of it. That's just some that they took out. She just got obsessed with just injecting herself. I don't know what it was.
That is bizarre as hell. Needle Arcania.
She's the Valentina. It was the man. They called the woman with the exploding face, I think.
Wow.
Oh boy. Now. They found there's an update in the Michael Jackson case. They found Diprivan, which is also known as propofol, in his house.
Anesthetic, right?
Yeah, it's an intravenous anesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why the hell he'd be taking this.
Well, apparently he was riddled with needle marks, is what I read. Yeah. And
they give it to people who are going for colonoscopies, John. So, I mean, it really knocks the shit out of you. You know who, you know, I'm not going to even mention his name. You know who likes to go for colonoscopies.
he goes once every 3 months, I think.
Yeah, I think so,
whether,
too.
Whether he wants to or not.
I think he always wants to.
No, he wants, no, I think it's the attendant Bubba that he likes.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I mean, this stuff is serious shit, and I don't know. I mean, it's amazing the guy didn't kill himself earlier. I mean, I think that this was, you know, they're blaming the doctors now. They're trying to say that this doctor enabled him to have the drugs at his disposal. You know, but look, if the guy was going to do it, he was a multi-millionaire. He was going to find a way to get the drugs no matter what.
You know, there's two doctors now that are involved in this thing from what I just read today. And apparently, they're looking at serious jail time for manslaughter charges.
Look, I don't blame the doctors, because you know what? He wanted this stuff, and come on. I mean, this is crazy. So he would have gone on the black market and found it, you know what I mean?
I'm sure he would have.
I mean, I would rather him use prescription stuff than heroin off the street, right?
You know, in most of the public's mind, there's really no difference.
Right. Well, I don't know. All I know is that, you know, I was watching a lot of these specials on Michael Jackson, and, I mean, this is a guy who created a concert series that lost money, that he funded himself. Did you know that?
Yeah.
His stage shows...
He didn't care. He wanted to get the best show. He didn't care if it lost money.
His stage shows were so expensive and elaborate. I mean, he was in a Rocket Man in one of them. He would leave the stage with the jetpack and fly out of there. I mean, the stage shows were costing more, his accountant said, than he was making on the whole tour.
And even after buying the Elephant Man bones, he still died with half a billion dollars in his estate.
No, I think they say he's $500 million in debt.
No, his estate is worth $500 million.
I think he's... Jeff? You care to comment?
I don't know. The last time I spoke to him, I think he was in debt.
I think he's in debt.
No, I just saw it today. I've been seeing it for the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. Everybody's fighting over it. You got Debbie Rowe fighting. You got the attorneys.
I think after the debt's paid off, he may have nothing. So
No. His estate is worth $500 million.
But that's what he was in debt, supposedly, too.
Then no one should be fighting over it.
I think he owes Diego about 15 bucks for a taco he stiffed him on.
He still has my kid.
Oh my God, I'm looking at this picture right now.
It's crazy, right?
Oh my, she was decent looking, the Asian girl.
I know. Yeah.
She looks like Jabba the Hutt now.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with these people. Crazy.
Oh my God.
You're crazy.
Her chin looks like a potato.
I know. I don't know what these people are nuts. Now, there was a story in the news, I believe in England someplace. A burglar broke into a man's house, a 72-year-old man's house. The guy happened to be a former boxer, an ex-boxer, and his name is Frank Cordy, 72-year-old former junior boxing champion. He beat the living shit out of this burglar. You got to see this guy's face. It was fucking bloodied. Look like he got into a car accident. He beat him. He almost beat him to death. He cracked him and slammed him. And this guy's facing some serious time, you know. But you always like to hear the story like that. These are the kind of stories I like to end the news segment on, John. A good feeling, you know.
Yeah, that's a good feeling.
Imagine your father. Imagine my dad getting his house broken into when he beats the shit out of the guy. I mean, that would be just like the greatest thing. You know? That would be like someone trying to break into Charlie Arm's house, you know.
Right.
He would kill the guy.
Could you imagine someone breaking into Charlie Arm's house and him coming around the corner with a baseball bat? Oh my God.
He doesn't even need it. His hands are probably stronger than a baseball bat.
His forearms are like baseball bats.
So yeah, that's my goodwill story for the day. But you know, we have a great show. We got our good friend Victor Conti back on here tonight, and we haven't heard some good stories from him in a long time, and he's got a new supplement out he wants to talk about. And we have Lee Banks on. You know, Lee Banks is probably one of the most underrated bodybuilders on the whole circuit right now. He's got the USA Championships in less than 3 weeks from today, and you know, no one's really talking much about him, but this guy, I'm predicting, John, this guy could win the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. He sure can, and it's going to be a battle. I mean, you got Mark Alvisi, you know, who's been had an awful lot of promo leading into this thing, and you know, and it's sort of, I guess from a PR standpoint, it's really not fair because you know Lee doesn't have a contract, yeah, and no one's pimping him, so you know no one's hearing about him. But you and I were sitting right there when we saw that guy, and even Jim Mannion came right up to us and said, "Who the hell is this guy?" He was like the surprise of the show. So I don't know. It's going to be a battle, but I don't think it's only going to be between him and Mark Alvisi. No.
Well, you got Zinjin Kroon, who we had on the show. He's going to be in that class,
right?
And there's a lot of other good heavyweights as well.
It's going to be a tough class. It's going to be an amazing show.
Yeah, I think that'll be the class that the overall winner eventually comes from. But then you got some crazy super heavyweights out there, too, that will be in the show. Robert Bernackis, who was placed first at the Atlantic States super heavyweight class, didn't win the overall. This guy is a monster. He's from Lithuania originally. I predict good things from him. If he comes in shape, watch out. And then there's going to be obviously a whole host of other guys out there. You have Keith Williams. You got in the super heavies as well. I think that the USA Championships is going to be a show where you're going to get a lot of guys coming out of the woodwork and establishing new reputations that weren't out there. And like I said, it'll be the first men's pro qualifier of the year, so I'm excited.
I am too. I can't wait to go. And of course, we love Vegas.
But Jeff, you've been awfully quiet. Anything to add before we go to break?
No, that's all, folks. Take it to break, John.
Jeff's in a very strange mood.
Jeff sounds like he's in a shitty mood. What's the matter, Jeff?
You know what it is? I got a email from him about 6:30 this morning, and I know he hadn't been to sleep yet. So he has very strange sleep habits.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. So you know, we're kind of wacky right now.
All right. Well, we got to go to commercial break, John. When we come back, we're gonna have our first guest.
All right. See you in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent, legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements, the science of sports nutrition, has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com, the only supplement site you'll ever need.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
All right, our next guest is the notorious founder of Balco fame, Victor Conte. How are you, Victor?
I'm doing good, John. And how you doing, Dave?
Hey, what's up, Vic?
Now, hanging Vic, in there on a Sunday afternoon, chatting with my pals.
That's right. Now, Vic, you know, I have a laundry list of topics to discuss tonight, but we're going to try to stick to the stuff that's pretty pertinent to what's been going on lately in your life. So, I guess let's start with Tim Montgomery first. Once upon a time, he was the world's fastest man. Why don't you just give our listeners a little bit of history as far as your relationship to him, and give us an update. What's up?
Well, it's interesting you bring up Tim. I didn't expect you to do so. There's an interesting story in the works by ESPN, and they actually interviewed him last Wednesday. He's at a prison camp on an Air Force base in Alabama. But I basically met Tim in July of 2000. I was introduced to him over the phone by Christy Gaines. They were in Europe on the track circuit there, and that's the first time we talked. And then I met with him in Sydney at the Olympics in 2000, and thereafter he came from Raleigh, North Carolina, out and spent some time at Balco, and we assembled something called Project World Record. The idea was to try to help him become the world's fastest human, and so I assembled a team that included Charlie Francis and Milos Sarchev, in terms of the weight program, and Trevor Graham, who was the coach of Marion Jones at the time, and Tim and myself, and worked with Tim for a period of a year, and he significantly improved his indoor and outdoor times, and then there was a financial dispute. I'd loaned him a substantial amount of money, about $25,000, and at the end of the season, he'd made over $600,000, and he decided that he wanted to buy a strip club in Virginia Beach, and was asking if he could pay back the money later, which was unacceptable because he'd made an awful lot of money. But later, you know, after he was banned from sport, and he did end up becoming a partner in a nightclub in Virginia Beach, and of course, many people know that later was involved in a bank fraud case and for the sales of heroin, and so he's now serving 9 years in a prison camp. And according to the guy from ESPN, he claims that he's going to get some lawyers and get out in time, and plans to run at the 2012 Olympics.
Well, you can't blame a guy for being positive, you know.
No, he does say that he's competitive because everybody at the camp wants to challenge him. And of course, I know this to be the case. Dave, you know, may know the same from when you went to a camp, that that's kind of the fastest man on the yard is a kind of a big deal. So they used to race between at halftime of soccer games all the time when I was in the camp. So I guess he's got a little clout now. He's no longer the fastest man in the world, but he's the fastest man on the yard.
Maybe he is. We don't know that for sure, though, Victor.
But now, Victor, you know, Tim Montgomery, was his nickname back in the day was Tiny Tim. He was a middle of the pack guy. He was not, like, you know, bucking for second or third. Why would you pick a guy from the middle of the pack to expect to turn into the fastest man in the world?
Well, he, as my girlfriend Mandy put it, he had a lot of talent. He was ranked number 8 in the world. But he, as she calls it, was had a very obedient attitude. He was willing to do, excuse me, whatever it took to run fast. And so we had discussions, and you know, Tim was a very likable guy until I learned some of the things involving his financial dealings. But, you know, he convinced me that he had what it took, and he felt that he didn't have a complete support team. Because it takes a whole, you know, you've got to have great physical therapist, you know, weight training, pharmacology, nutrition, the psychological aspects. It takes an entire support team to help somebody. These guys just don't do it by themselves. They've got great training partners and so on. So I thought it would be something very fun and exciting to do. And he had great interest and was willing to comply with whatever it was that I told him to do. So I agreed to assemble a team, and so that's what I did.
And was the $25,000 to pay for all that, or was that to date Marion Jones?
No. The $25,000 was for Mercedes payments and taxes and mortgage payments, and you know, I bought him an electronic timing system. It was all stuff that was bona fide, had absolutely nothing to do with drugs or consultation or training or anything like that. It was just simply money that I'd loaned to him, and the most he'd ever made in his life previous to that. He did win a bronze medal in 1997 at the World Championships behind Maurice Greene, so I knew that he had tremendous talent. And it's going to be interesting because he tried to claim that during his grand jury testimony that, you know, Trevor had offered him drugs, but he never took it, and so on. And so the guy from ESPN showed him at this recent meeting. He had been down to Laredo, Texas, and went over the border. This is in 1999, the year before I met him. And there was a baseline testosterone level that was right dead center. I forget the measurement unit, obviously Spanish, but it was in the neighborhood of 8,000 units. And then 24 hours later, he had it retested, and of course it was at 16,000 units, so he doubled his testosterone levels in less than 24 hours. So seemed to be pretty convincing evidence that he was doing something involving testosterone.
I'd say.
And it doesn't stop at Tim Montgomery. What's going on with the Barry Bonds trial, Victor? You never hear about it anymore.
Well, I just found out that they gave a delay to his defense team. The feds submitted their to the appellate court their brief on the 1st of June, and then Bonds' team was supposed to submit their rebuttal by the 1st of July, and my understanding is now that they've got until the 15th to have this submitted, so in about the next 10 days or so, they will submit the rebuttal. I think it's just going to be an absolutely embarrassing document that's going to make the feds look really bad. I do not believe that the appellate court will overturn the decision of Judge Ilston, and I think that all of the evidence, the calendars, the lab reports, the ledgers, the testimony of Jim Valenti, Balco's former VP, and Greg, it's all tossed. I don't think they have a case. I think that it's incredible that after 6 years, that what started with, it was like the 9/11 of the world of sport, the day of the Balco raid, to start with that sort of a bang and to end with this whimper, and then especially in the context currently of Manny Ramirez, and there was a recent article that said, you know, this baseball is entertainment. It's about dreads. It's not about meds. It's just incredible. So, I mean, you know, why was Barry Bonds blackballed? I mean, we now know that Manny had a positive test, and so I don't know. Maybe the whole context and climate and people's understanding and perception has changed significantly over the last 6 years.
Do you think the trial is going to happen at all? What's your opinion?
I do not. I don't think there will ever be a trial. I think that they will leave. If you noticed, Joseph Russinello, the guy that took Kevin Ryan's place as the head U.S. attorney here in the 9th District, recently demoted Matt Parrilla. So he's no longer the head of the San Jose office that brought all these charges, and they gave him a choice. He could either be involved with computer crimes or manage the office, but he's no longer the head. And I think that's the first step. They've kept him around. In the event, you know, some slight chance that there is a trial, then they would, of course, want him around to give his input. But to me, the writing's on the walls. I mean, Nowitzki's out of there, and Perella's gets a demotion. And as I've stated, you know, I was quoted in New York Daily News, I think these guys now look like the Three Stooges.
So there's no way, even if it went to trial, you think there's no way that Mons would be convicted?
Absolutely not. And here's the reason. You know, they talk about the Balco 7, or it's been called the Balco 10, baseball players, and what they testified to. And the government has been claiming that these testimonies, you know, are good for their case against Bonds. Well, I know exactly and precisely what every one of these players has said, and I can just tell you straight up that their testimonies are supportive of Barry Bonds. They basically said the same thing that he said. Did some of them admit that they had gotten testosterone and growth hormone from Greg Anderson? The answer is yes. But in terms of the clear and the cream and other supplements that they were taking, they basically said the exact same thing that Barry did, that they didn't know what these substances were, and it was never really explained to them, and they just didn't ask questions. And so they're either all telling the truth or they're all lying. But what I'm telling you is at least their testimonies were congruent with Barry Bonds.
Right.
Hmm. Well, that's important.
We'll have to see how that plays out. Now, Victor, everyone knows Balco. I mean, that's almost like it's become a dictionary word. But we never really talk about your new company, Snack. People don't realize that you've basically transposed, I guess, the Balco line into the Snack line. Give us a little idea of what Snack stands for, and how you got that started, and what it's all about now.
Well, I wouldn't say that Snack replaced Balco. The history is that Balco was founded in March of 1984, and I began testing athletes, and right away I had all sorts of world-class athletes, from Alberto Salazar, the world record holder at the time in the marathon, to Matt Biondi, the world's fastest swimmer. Within the first year that Balco was founded, I was already working with many elite athletes. What I discovered was, after doing these comprehensive workups in terms of blood and urine testing, and I would send the athletes out to get, you know, specific nutrients, and then after a given period of time, say 6 weeks, retest them, I discovered that a lot of the mineral and trace element supplements available on the market were not bioavailable, and the absorption rates were very low, and I wasn't seeing much of an increase in terms of the circulating blood levels. So in August of 1987, I founded SNAC. The acronym stands for Scientific Nutrition for Advanced Conditioning. And initially, I developed a line of mineral and trace element supplements, so that based upon the individual depletions or deficiencies found in athletes, that there could be a customized program for them, and then we would routinely monitor them and test them every 4 to 6 weeks, and then make adjustments accordingly. So SNAC has been in existence since 1987. I've always had a supplement line, and all of the athletes that worked with Balco and followed my recommendations, for the most part, took SNAC products, but I also use a lot of different other products as well.
Now, you run that company currently with your daughter, correct?
Yeah. My youngest daughter, Veronica, actually runs the company. She's doing a great job.
Now, you have a new product on the market, which I found kind of interesting, your ZMA5 product. How is that different than the original ZMA product? And maybe you can give us a little science behind the ZMA as well.
Well, the background on ZMA is when I first introduced this, I developed it in 1996, and then we did some research at Western Washington University in 98, and then I originally signed a contract, and it was going to be introduced by Bill Phillips and EAS. Then the Mark McGuire story broke about Andro, and EAS was sold to North Castle Venture Partners, who, after they'd given me a substantial advance, made contact and said, look, we just don't want to be in the business of selling, quote, this testosterone boosters. Now, that's really not what ZMA was about. It was more about enhancing sleep efficiency and recovery. And so I jumped on a plane and flew to New York and met with Steve Bleckman at the Twin Lab. And on a handshake, he agreed to put this under the Twin Lab label and started buying full-page ads and all the magazines. And in a short period of time, all of the major companies out there, and of course most of them still do today, sell ZMA. I was just looking earlier. There's over 100 brands now worldwide. And for example, on bodybuilding.com, and by the way, ZMA5, and I know, Dave, one of your products also got nominated for a category, but ZMA5 got nominated as one of the recovery supplements of the year. And there are 16 different pure ZMA products on bodybuilding.com, and then there are 34 that are in what are called the other ZMA product category. So there's a total of 50 products on bodybuilding.com that contain ZMA raw material, excuse me, that they get from us. And in the other category, ZMA is ranked number one. ZMA 5 is ranked number one. And in the overall, it's number four. So for a long time, you know, I just was supplying raw material and never really out there with a retail brand. And then I decided that it would be ZMA 5 contains all of the same ingredients as ZMA, which is a very bioavailable form of zinc, as monomethionine and aspartate and magnesium aspartate, with a precise dosage of vitamin B6. And the idea was to enhance the duration and depth of stage 3, stage 4, also called delta or slow wave sleep, which is really when the tissue repair, healing, and recovery process occurs, which is really starts about 90 minutes after you go to sleep. There, typically, you sleep, you go through 3 or 4 cycles in a night, but during stages 3 and 4 is when the accelerated tissue repair occurs at a maximum. Zinc, magnesium, and B6 are all three cofactors in the conversion to a 5-HTP to serotonin. And the effect of 5-HTP is really to enhance, it does further positively affect stages 3 and 4, but it's really about REM sleep or stage 5, and so it helps with cognitive function, and there's research regarding problem-solving ability and just typically enhancing and elevating mood as well. So the idea was to add 5-HTP. There's also a precise amount of folic acid, which is also involved in this conversion. So it increases the duration and depth of stages 3 and 4, as well as now stage 5 sleep. So we've done studies with testers, and we had them alternate taking the original ZMA for 3 nights and then ZMA 5 for 3 nights for a month, and then keep logs. And almost 100% of the participants thought that ZMA 5 was much more effective than the original ZMA.
Interesting. Very interesting. Now, so you really believe that the serotonin is the key, and now obviously by adding the 5-HTP, you've enhanced the original formula, of which I think you have a patent on that, correct?
There's a patent pending. We have a trademark, a federal trademark for ZMA. It's an interesting question because, excuse me, a lot of companies have tried to trademark, like Twin Lab is one, Labrada was another, where they tried to add a name with ZMA, like ZMA Fuel, ZMA Force, ZMA Blast, and the Federal Trademark Office has denied all of these claims because it would create confusion with the regular ZMA. So anybody that uses the name ZMA has to have what we call a TLA, or a trademark licensing agreement, with Snack System before they can sell that product anywhere in the United States.
So they try to steal it from you?
You know, I can't say the term knockoffs out there because you can't, you know, really monitor what everybody puts in. But I would say we've probably captured greater than 80% of the ZMA market is the authentic material that's coming from us.
Wow. pretty cool. Now, I want to talk about Marion Bird for a second. He stood up and actually stood up to the press and actually admitted that he's working with you in an attempt to improve his game, which we all thought was a pretty cavalier move on his part, considering. And ironically, the week he admitted that, he crushed 3 home runs in 2 days. So how are you helping this guy?
Well, and the interesting thing, I just looked, he also, since then, they've won something like 5 out of the last 6 games, and he drove in 3 runs last night. He's continued this tear. It started last Monday and Tuesday when he had 1 home run on Monday and Tuesday. So he's been doing great in terms of concentration, focus, energy, et cetera. He had run out of these products that I was giving him, specifically these what we call pre-competition packets that he takes. And he was kind of in a bit of a slump. And so when we met at the hotel, they were in San Francisco playing the Giants together with the Yahoo reporter, Steve. We talked all about this very openly, and of course thereafter he started playing very well, and who knows if part of this is placebo or not, but I do believe that it does play a role. When he feels that he's prepared or done a better job of preparing himself physically and psychologically to play these games, I think it affects his production. He decided that he was going to come out, and he figured it would get out eventually, and then it would be bad news, and the best way to address it would be just to come out and do an interview and speak his mind. And I can tell you that he was scheduled last Thursday to meet with Major League Baseball. They want to know, they're investigating this now, his relationship with me and the actions taking. They postponed this meeting until this next week, so Marlon is going to have to meet directly with the MLB investigators and address this, and he just has continued to say that he feels he's making the right decision.
But now, don't you find this just so ultimately ironic, considering that President Bush, who was the managing partner of the Texas Rangers, called for the crackdown on steroids in baseball? It was his attorney general that read your indictment on national TV, and the Texas Rangers are still all using your supplements.
And the interesting thing, even after Marlon has said everything he said publicly, and there's been umpteen comments by the manager of the team, that he sends me a text message, and I'd given him 10 of these pre-competition packets of supplements, and all along, you have to understand that I've been sending these directly to either their training facility or the ballpark. So when he called me after all this broke and he was under investigation and he asked me to send more, which I did here just in the last couple of days, they're going directly to the, you know, something like 1,000 ballpark way. So it's being handled by the team, delivered to him, and he keeps all of this right out in the open. All the snack products are right there in his locker for everybody to see.
Yeah, but you know what, Vic, the whole thing is so ridiculous. So what do you think he's... Do these investigators really think like you're slipping drugs into these products?
You know, it's much like was the case with Chambers. I mean, you've mentioned that Balco is a worldwide name in terms of recognition and really the stigma that's attached to it. And, you know, when Dwayne Chambers came out and said that he was working with me after he won the European gold medal at the indoor championships and ran the third fastest time in history, well, the next thing you know, here's public statements by Jacques Rogge, the president of the International Olympic Committee, and DIAC, the president of the IAAF, saying all sorts of negative things about me. And, you know, who is this guy? Some kind of special goon? Why do these people follow him? It doesn't make any sense. The only thing we know is he's been in prison, and they feel the need to come out and criticize me. So I'm sure that this is not going to end anytime soon, and you know, I'll find out here shortly what Major League Baseball has to say to Marlon, and I don't know what they can do, how they can prevent him from taking perfectly legal supplements and using legal methods in his preparation.
It almost sounds absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the questioning who he hangs out with now, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I don't. Same thing with Dwayne Chambers. They basically ordered him. You know, it's strange because, you know, you develop a relationship, and as Dwayne Chambers has expressed in his book, that I became like a father figure to him, and he's always called me and talked to me and asked me for advice. And as funny as this may sound, when he got all this pressure and they demanded that he come forward with a statement about our relationship and that he terminate his relationship with me, it was rather funny because I get this call and I realized it's at 3 o'clock in the morning in London, and why he's calling me, and the reason was he wanted me to help him write the statement.
Now, speaking about Chambers, Dwayne Chambers, there's another Chambers you're also helping, and his name is Fast Eddie Chambers, they call him. He's a heavyweight boxer who's just beat one of the premier heavyweights, 6'7", 253-pound Dimitrenko. I actually saw the fight highlights online, and it was pretty impressive. This guy's a monster, and they were grooming him, I guess, to go against Klitschko. And then this guy, Fast Eddie, steps in and kind of hands him a beating. You know, what kind of involvement did you have with his training?
Well, it started way back in early 2003. The trainer for Andre Ward, who's a guy locally here from Oakland, his name is Virgil Ward, and so I started helping Andre in his preparation for the Olympics in 2004, and of course Andre went on to win in the light heavyweight division the gold medal, and in fact he was the only boxer from the United States that won a gold medal in Athens. And recently, Andre, about a month ago, fought, or maybe 6 weeks ago, he fought a guy named Edison Miranda, who's from Colombia, who's the only two losses in his career were against for world championship belts. So he was, I think, 34-2 with 28 knockouts. And so I helped Andre prepare for that fight, which was in Oakland and broadcast on Showtime. And he decisively beat this guy. And so shortly thereafter, I got a call from Virgil, who introduced me to Rob Murray, who is the trainer for Eddie Chambers. And they asked if I would be willing to help prepare him for this fight, which was last night in Hamburg, Germany. And so we had, you know, several rounds of discussions, and I created a program for Eddie, and he just felt tremendous benefit, and the reports I was getting from the training camp were he just had additional energy, his recovery was great. It's really the depth of the training load. I mean, he was doing the running, the everything, and that was one of the criticisms, is he would start out, he's a very fast fighter, very defensively skilled fighter, but he would run out of gas. And would get ahead, and then he would kind of coast toward the ends of the fights because he just didn't feel that he had energy reserves in the tank. And so that's one of the things that we worked on and talked about. And I could tell in my last discussion with him before he went to Germany that he really felt that this was the most prepared he'd ever been his entire life for a fight. And his weight had dropped the previous fight. He was 223, and he was already working hard and had dropped down at least 10 pounds. He was probably about 213 when I started working with him, and then he eventually dropped all the way down to 205. He looked great. It was an excellent performance, and he will get this shot here with Klitschko for the title, which is going to be a great opportunity. And at some point, probably as of today in this interview, this word's going to get out that I'm working with Eddie, and who knows what sort of controversy that might create. But Eddie's a great guy, and I've really enjoyed working with him.
You mentioned a little while ago Manny Ramirez. What are you doing with him?
No connection other than the media. Every time he does something, I get a number of people calling me and asking me, you know, for specific information about what does this mean, and you know, I find the timing to be really interesting. At the beginning of this year, before training camp, he was in a contract negotiation with the Dodgers, and he showed up a little bit late. And of course, it's been reported that he had an elevated testosterone, epitestosterone ratio, and somehow Some of the people in his camp handed over this HCG prescription from his medical file. And, you know, the TE ratio test is really not a very valid test. And in the world of Olympic sport, you know, you have arbitrators. It's not a real court of law. And therefore, the standard they have to meet, which is called comfortable satisfaction, is much lower than it is in a civil court or a criminal court. So I think they didn't want to go there with that, and they just negotiated and realized that all this was going to come out. So they used that to give him the 50-game suspension. And it's interesting because, you know, in 2005, Mark McGwire said, "I'm not here to talk about the past." And here we are 4 years later, and Manny's basically saying, you know, "I'm not going to talk about what happened in the past." it's just, the question is, has there been any progress?
Yeah. How did they get into his medical file to even see that he had a prescription for HCG?
You know, I think somebody just handed it over, not realizing what they were doing.
Isn't that illegal?
I don't know. I'm sure they could have tied that information up for a long time, and I think it was just stupidity. It's similar to, you know, they, per protocol, were supposed to have destroyed those urine samples that were at the lab in Quest Diagnostics facility in Las Vegas. And they didn't. And then, of course, as everybody knows, Jeff Davidsky and a SWAT team went in there and raided and confiscated all and started testing them for all sorts of things, including THG. So I think that my guess would be that it was just really stupid for them to do what they did and hand it over.
Now, when they did that raid in Las Vegas, they only had a search warrant for 5 or 6 samples, and they ended up taking like 1,400, didn't they?
That's right. They confiscated all of them, and Nowitzki's argued that it was in plain view, and of course, Jed Yeltsin said that I don't think information on a hard drive and a computer is in plain view. So, yeah, that's still tied up in the courts, and the bad part about that is that we're able to go and take these samples, and you know, now the results are being leaked on a few players, you know, A-Rod and Sosa, and there's another list that, you know, who knows whether it's the right list or not. It just keeps everything in limbo. I mean, I understand that they gave these samples and there was an agreement in place that it would be anonymous. But at this point, I don't know how we're going to carry forward and try to get the bulk of this scandal behind us unless they come out with these names. And I just find it interesting that they are dribbled out like this. And it just continues to add fuel to the fire. And, you know, it's a never-ending story, it seems.
Do you think that HIPAA laws are just too convoluted to have any teeth when it comes to law enforcement leaking these names? Because it extends far beyond Jeff Nowitzki. I mean, you even had that bozo district attorney in Albany, David Soares, leaking names of everybody busted from the Signature Pharmacy case. I mean, it just seems like there's just no privacy whatsoever with respect to medical records.
Well, let me say this. It's a double standard. Can law enforcement do this and get away with it? Yes. Let me tell you, if I did what they've done, there'd be another SWAT team at my house. So, you know, they're able to do things, and I've had these discussions with my lawyer, and I said, look, here's what they did. They took Shane Mosley's lab results. They put them up on a screen in Colorado Springs at a WADA conference, which was not law enforcement related. This was in violation of the Malco protective order because those documents are named as being under seal. This is a crime. Contempt of court. Now, if I did this, you could imagine what would happen. But I asked my lawyers, do you think that they will even have an investigation to figure out, you know, who's leaking this stuff? We know that they did it. We know that they didn't have a waiver to do this, yet that's what I was told. There's just two different standards, one that you have to live by as a citizen and one that they live by as law enforcement.
One thing, Victor, that you do manage to do very well is get yourself in the news, because I've never seen anyone quoted in more articles or get more interviews on TV than you. It's amazing. You should become a publicist for people. I'm telling you.
You know, I've joked about this from the beginning, and you're absolutely right. And it's been good for business. You know, after there's been a lot of, you know, difficult times and things that I have regrets about that have happened, but you're right. It's ironic, but I look at it as an opportunity to, the first step in creating positive change is acknowledgement. So the media now has, I guess it started back in December of 2004 when I did that interview with Martin Bashir, and I just decided that I would come out and tell the truth and do so for all the right reasons. And the legal world was split. Half of them thought that, you know, I was crazy because what I said would, all I'd have to do is roll the tape and I would be convicted of the crimes. The other faction thought, this guy's crazy like a fox. He knows exactly what he's doing. And, you know, I felt I made the right decision then. And the media has seen that the majority of what I had to say then, even though it was shocking to many, has turned out to be true. So they come back and they come back and they come back. And you know, I try to do what I can to give my opinion for whatever it's worth. And you're right. It's just been amazing here, the number of television and radio and print media and online. You know, they're doing, like I say, ESPN has two very interesting stories. One is about the history of the world's fastest human title. It goes all the way back from 1968 and Jim Hines all the way through Usain Bolt. And every single one of the coaches and trainers and athletes, Ben Johnson, Charlie Francis, on and on, have all been interviewed and will be a part of this.
That should be good.
And then, this will be probably in the next couple of weeks before the World Championships. And then this other story about Tim Montgomery and you know, how he went from the world's fastest man to the fastest man on the prison yard.
Now, Victor, do you think Usain Bolt will win the World Championships?
Do I think he will win the World Championships? Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. You know, I've got an opinion about all of this, and I will tell you that in the last week, they're doing a big story on Usain Bolt that will be, I'll just tell you, it's for ESPN as well. And this guy said he went to the stadium where they train and where they compete, the national stadium, and he went and looked at the facility where they, you know, supposedly collect these urine samples from the athletes. His description was, it looks like a dirty storage closet.
This is in Jamaica, huh?
This is in Jamaica. Uh-huh. And they chased around for 3 days the medical doctor that's supposed to be in charge of collecting these samples, and it was the heavy duck and dodge, and they never did manage to have him answer any questions.
Well, I guess you're right.
So it's, do I think it's highly suspicious what goes on? I most certainly do. And until there's transparency where they not only indicate, you know, where these samples are collected, and I don't mean, you know, in between competitions the day before on the European track circuit, but I mean on the home soil of some of these Caribbean countries, and for that matter, any other country, including the United States, there needs to be transparency, not only of when they were tested and was it truly an out-of-competition test, but also the missed tests, because that's where people just fail to understand, and the analogy would be like a baseball player. You get up to bat, you take a strike. You take another strike. Well, the third one, you smack it out of the park, and it's a game-winning home run. Well, it's the same thing with these tests. You say you're going to be at one place, and you go somewhere else. You make yourself unavailable. What people don't understand is when that tester shows up and you're not there, he doesn't come back the next day. They have to file papers. It goes to arbitration. They set up a hearing at least 30 days away. You show up and provide whatever explanation that you give. And if you lose, then you get a missed test. What that means is you can easily be on drugs for a month. Okay, so you get strike one, but the pitch is you've got a cycle under your belt.
Right.
The same thing, and the odds of them coming, I've calculated, is about 25 to 1. So you get these two chances to do cycles of anabolic steroid at a minimum, before you compete at a world championship or an Olympic Games, and then just like a speeding ticket on your driving record, it's a rolling 18-month period. So you just wait until that oldest one drops off, then you get another strike. So it's like taking candy from a baby to circumvent the anti-doping policies and procedures in place. And I've been saying this loudly and since December of 2004. And, you know, I've written open letters to WADA. I've met WADA. I've met multiple times with USADA. The question at this point is, do they really want to know the truth?
Man, of course they don't. And obviously, Victor, you're about the truth, and you're certainly not without opinions and very strong opinions, and that's why we love you so much. And, you know, we're out of time here, but Victor, I just want to thank you for taking time on your Sunday to talk to us.
Hey, I'd love to talk with both of you guys anytime.
And I want to just thank you for being a supporter of RX Muscles. It means a lot to us.
You're welcome. I think you guys are doing a great job, and what you've done in just the last few months is phenomenal, and you got a lot of fans, guys. Keep it up.
Thank you, Victor.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements. The science of sports nutrition has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com. The only supplement site you'll ever need.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
Our next guest is one of the favorites going into the extremely competitive heavyweight class at this year's NPC USA Championships, less than 3 weeks from today. The man I'm talking about is none other than the freak, the other freak from Jacksonville, Florida, Lee Banks. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going? What's up?
Now, Lee, it's true that you're currently residing in Jacksonville, Florida, correct?
Yes, born and raised.
Which is the home of another very popular bodybuilder, Mr. Olympia, Dexter Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you guys talk, hang out, train together? What's the deal?
Yeah, actually, I run into him every now and then. When I go see my trainer, he trains at that gym, at World Gym. So I go in there, and I'm like, next week he's going to take a look at me and give me his feedback. He kind of, you know, it's good to get advice from Mr. Olympia.
That's right. I've been to Jacksonville. Yeah. It's not a very big place. I would imagine you guys would bump into each other every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, most people confuse me for being him. I have a lot of people run up to me and say, hey, Dexter. I'm like, no, I'm not Dexter. Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of big guys running around in Jacksonville.
No, that's for sure. I almost got a speeding ticket there when I got off the plane. I was literally in the car for about 30 seconds, and I got pulled over, and the guy goes, you know what you were doing? And I said, I just pulled out of the rented car place. And I asked him, I said, do you know Dexter Jackson? I figured I'd throw it out there because, you know, he always talks about how he's like the mayor of the town there. And the guy did know him. He knew him. He's like, oh, yeah, he's a great guy. Oh, what do you? I said, I'm going to see him. You know, we're interviewing him. And he's like, oh, all right, go ahead. You know, have a safe day, you know.
Cool. So, it's like the brass pass.
That's right.
And then Jacksonville. Hey, Lee, since this is your first time on our show, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about how you got involved in the sport of bodybuilding?
Well, bodybuilding, I always was a fan of bodybuilding. My late dad, he was a bodybuilder. He was an amateur. He never really competed, but he was always, you know, have old pictures of him flexing, and my grandma would tell me how he would lift. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, son want to be like the father. And I kind of just played around with it, and I was a little guy in high school, and then I was in karate, actually. I was good at karate, and I end up getting an injury on my knee. And that summer, I just started lifting with my upper body, and all of a sudden, you know, that potential came out. You know, that my arms started to grow, and I was like, wow, let me do something with this. So I started working out overall, and then, you know, one thing led to another, and I got bigger, and I noticed that, hey, this little scrawny kid can put on some muscle. So I decided to do my first show. It took me to, I was 30 years old before I did my first show. I was going to do it at 25, but I got married, and that kind of took me out of the game for a while. So once I got my business stable and everything, my career, I decided to give it a shot, and I've been hooked ever since.
How old were you actually when you actually started the, you know, when you got back into it the second time?
I was about 29. My first show, I was 30, so I was around 29 years old.
Spring chicken.
Well, no, it's kind of a late start if you think about it for a bodybuilder. It's amazing what he's done.
Yeah, I was being facetious.
Ah, sorry, John. Too much salt water in my ears. Well, let me ask you a question here. Because I was looking over your track record, so to speak, going back to when you first started competing. In 2004, you won the NPC All-South Championships. You did the same thing again in 2007. Also, though, in 2007, you snagged, I remember because I was at the show and I know John was too, you snagged third place at the NPC Nationals in that heavyweight class. And I remember Jim Mannion came over to John and I and we're like, do you know who that guy is? And I'm like, I don't know who he is. I said, I think Dexy, he's friends with Dexy Jackson because I heard Dexy yelling for you. And were you kind of shocked that you actually went from pretty much no one to all of a sudden being a major player in the national level?
No, not really. Not my first national show, I threw it out there to give it a shot, and I got sixth place. And when I got sixth place, my first nationals, I was like, you know what? I know I can break that top five. And I think that was a year later. I got third place. You know, I was really was shocked that more people didn't know who I was, but. You know, and that's, I believe, I blame that because I never did shows. I should have done shows like the Junior Nationals or the Junior right. USAs. That would have really put my name out there.
Sure. A lot of people make that mistake, too, Lee. You know, they just skip right ahead to the national level.
Mm-hmm. You did crack the top five. I mean, and last year was a great year. You placed third at the USA Championships behind Brandon Curry and Michael Liberatore. Then you followed up that with a second place behind the eventual winner, I think Mark Lavoie at the North American Championships. Were you happy with that overall package? Is that what you're looking at bringing back?
The North American, that show, I was very disappointed with how I looked. I don't even like looking at those pictures. I like the package I brought to the USA's last year, and I'm planning on bringing a bigger package back with tighter waist, tighter conditioning, and like I said, I'm looking to be probably about 4 pounds heavier.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, the funny thing is, I don't mean to interrupt, but, you know, the guy goes, John, from third place to the Nationals. The following year, he comes back, he places third behind, you know, two really good guys.
Really
obviously,
good guys.
People were, you know, were considering you as one of the favorites, though, in that show, Lee. A couple weeks later, you do the North American, you come in second, which is not a bad placing, but obviously you were once again being pegged as possibly the guy to win this show. This guy, Mark Lavoie, comes out of nowhere and from Canada, you know, really, really good condition. You were a little off. You know, that had to be a little frustrating for you, you know. But now, you know, after being touted as like the next guy in line after the 2007 Nationals, you know, now you fall to, you actually go up to second place, and now all of a sudden you're off the radar. I mean, why do you think the only name really being, you know, mentioned for the USA this year seems to be Mark Alvisi? Does that kind of piss you off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of discouraging because, you know, in bodybuilders, we all try to work our way up to ranks. We understand the politics. And you figure when you get, you know, top two, top three, I'm there. And it's like, the closer I get, it's like you said, it's still like I'm not on the radar yet. And I don't know if it's with the politics of the sport, but it's like every year they, you know, pick certain people that they just really want to be the man that year. They did it with Brandon Curry. They're doing it with Mark Alvisi. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you can't count out the other major players.
Right.
And it's, you know, and that's what, you know, if you're going to pump up one guy, pump up the guy who's his competition, especially when you know he has for major competition.
I agree 100%. I'm going to throw a theory out there because you think it has something to do with the fact that, number one, Brandon Curry was working for BSN. Which was giving him a lot of publicity. Obviously, what's his name? Mark Alvisi works for Gaspari Nutrition, which is putting him in ads all over the place. Do you think it's just that you're maybe out of sight, out of mind, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It may have to do with, probably had a lot to do with the company that's sponsoring you. It has a lot to do with that also. So I'm a free agent now, putting that out there. So, it does have a lot to do with that. You get with a good company, it's going to pump, put your name out there, and it works good for the politics of the sport.
Well, sometimes though, the guys that are home working really hard, pissed off, mad about, you know, not getting that limelight like yourself, may actually be the more dangerous competitor because no one's expecting anything of you. You come in, no pressure on you. And I have a feeling you're going to shake up that USA lineup.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And a lot of times it can hurt you, the limelight, especially for a guy who's a top amateur who's trying to crack, you know, into the pros, because the limelight, they flying you here, they got you doing photo shoots, and you kind of relax. Thank you there. And this is kind of working in my favor, because I'm not flying anywhere. I'm home based. I'm training hard. I don't have many distractions, and like I say, it's going to be an upset. I'm looking for an upset this year.
Well, you that's probably entirely possible. You telling me you're coming in 4 pounds heavier, tighter waist, better package, bigger, harder. You know, of course, we have Mark Alvisi, waiting in the wings. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else you're thinking about mixing it up with? Do you have any predictions for the show? How do you think it's going to pan out?
Like I said, they're predicting Mark Alvisi to be the overwhelming favorite for my class and the overall. So pretty much right now, he's got the radar on his head for me. So he's the man I'm gunning for. I mean,
You beat Mark last year at the USA, though, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, he got fourth, I got third.
Yeah, so I mean...
So that's what I'm saying. The judges have seen my physique better before, and I know that I think they'll see it again. So he's the guy I'm gunning for. I mean, I know how the politics of these type of shows work. You know, they're looking at one or two guys,
right?
And it's usually between those one or two guys. So,
well, the fact that Jim Mannion likes your physique is always a benefit, and you know, the fact that the heavyweight class will probably be the most competitive class in the show, bar none. You're probably, your top five guys there probably will be better than everyone else in the other weight classes. You win that class, Lee, you've really, I think, set yourself aside and put yourself in another category that would definitely, you know, be an impressive USA victory. So I'm sure that's where your mindset's at this point in time.
Oh, yeah. I'm confident I'm going to get my pro card this year. I want my pro card at the USA. Yeah. This is the one I want.
It's a good win. No, it would be a good win for you.
Oh, so, yeah, definitely, yeah.
And do you have a website, Lee, where people can get in touch with you for guest posings or seminars or anything like that, or if any supplement companies out there are looking to pick you up or anything like that?
Oh, yes. It's LeeBanks.net.
All right. And what's your email?
It's LeeBanks@BellSouth.net.
All right. Cool. Well, Lee, we just want to say that we're behind you, man. I like your physique. I think that, you know, you're definitely the next in line, and I'm hoping you're going to come out victorious at the USA Championships.
Thanks, man. I remember you last year, the preliminary before the USA. You were the only one kind of speaking a little bit for me. So you've always been cool with me, Dave.
I think you're a freak, Lee, you know, and frankly, that's what the fans want to see, you know?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
You're a freak with good shape. That, I mean, where do you get better than that, you know?
Lee,
we've been instrumental in getting many athletes contracts with a certain magazine. Maybe we can pull a few strings and help you a little.
Just by having the money. Just by having the money, John.
I know.
Now, Lee, how's your family, you know, taking this whole thing? Are they very supportive of you? Do you have a good support crew?
Yeah, I have a good support crew. Like I said, my business is support. They understand, okay, you know, Mr. Banks is not going to be here most of the time. He's training hard. My family, my wife cooks my meals. She understands this, like these last 3 weeks, she kind of stay out of my way. It gets tough right now. So it's, you know, it's like I'm so mentally focused right now on accomplishing this. You know, I try not to. I don't know, I'm trying to be grouchy, but I just don't like to be bothered too much. Go ahead.
What do you do for a living?
Childcare. I own 3 childcare centers.
That's right. I've interviewed you about this before. John, he actually watches kids all day. Imagine that.
I don't know why, but that's why I have to get rid of some of that stress.
I do the same thing, Lee.
Yeah.
It's only one kid, though, but I do the same thing.
Only one, huh?
See, if you lived in Jacksonville, you could have dropped your son up there at the Lee Banks Child Care Center.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
John, can you imagine bringing your kid into a child care center and seeing Lee Banks with like 21-inch arms sitting behind the front desk there?
Just hand your kid to Lee. He's okay.
Nothing's going to happen to your kid. You know that. That's for sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I have a lot of parents say, we already have security. We don't need a security system here.
I mean, awesome. The kids must freak out when they see you, right?
Oh, yeah. They think I'm some type of superhero or something.
I just got this visual of, like, Lee, like, of these kids hanging from Lee's arms and legs and just, like, you know, going nuts on him, you know.
Do they do that? Do they ask you to flex your arm and hang from you and all that?
Oh, yeah. They just, the kids love me. They always ask, you know. You know, they say, Mr. Banks got bigger muscles than my daddy. And they go, you know, kind of start problems sometimes. They go home and tell daddy that I'm bigger.
Now, where did you get the idea originally to open up a child care center? Because, I mean, that kind of sounds like that's very unique for a bodybuilder to do something like that.
Yeah, I grew up in it. My mom's been in it for 35 years. So ever since I was about 8, you know, I've been around it, gotcha. The business. So I decided to go ahead and do my own thing.
It's actually a good idea, John, if you think about it. It's probably hard to find people to work in there, right, that are responsible?
Yeah, that's the major problem with it. Once you get responsible people, it's a gravy, especially for a bodybuilder, because, you know, I can eat my meals anytime I want. I can just sit at the desk. It ain't a lot of physical work, but it's like you said, once you get the people that you can trust. Yeah, that's a major, because you're dealing with kids, people's kids.
How right. old do the kids go up to?
Well, we go from 6 weeks old to 5-year-olds.
Okay, that's a pretty cool mm-hmm. age. But.
Yeah. It's the hardest age to find care for, so that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you guys change diapers and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, they do.
You know, he said they do, John. He didn't mention
that. 2 weeks old, yeah, you're going to have to.
Well, yeah, it's got to be labor-intensive, feeding these kids and changing them.
Yeah, teaching them everything.
What does it cost for a week of daycare nowadays?
You're looking at it can be between $120 and $180 a week
That's cheap. Mm-hmm. It's probably more expensive in New York, John, right?
Probably. You know, it's a $600-700 a month commitment, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's good that they're out there, though, because, you know, absolutely. Parents have to work nowadays.
Yeah, they do. It's tough, though, man, when you're a working single parent. You know, it's, you know, chopping, you know, $600-700 right off your monthly nut is tough for some people, you know. But yeah, you got to do it.
You're right.
Yeah, well, that's, especially, I guess, single parents, that's the contributing parent pays, I guess, correct?
You hope. I've gone a whole year with no contribution.
Oh, shit. Now, Lee, let's assume you turn pro this year, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether it be the USA or some other show, what would be, would you go right in? I mean, you have the kind of physique that can kind of go right into the pro ranks and do well. Would you wait, or would you actually try to do a show this year possibly?
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah, I mean, depending on how I feel, I would love to jump right in that Tampa Pro or, you know, one of the lower level pros. I would love to. I know I'm looking at something like the Euro, you know, just to get my feet wet. But I would, you know, it would do something, you know, in the near future. Then I want to take like a year off and really, you know, put on a little more size and then go into the, you know, the higher ranked pro shows.
Gotcha.
But the Tampa Pro, I think that one's in like August, September.
Yeah, you can drive there, man. It's right by the house.
I can just jump right in there. Yeah. Stay in condition. Yep.
Well, Lee, I just want to thank you for stopping by and giving us an update, and we'll be following you the whole way through there, and you know, doing interviews with you and tracking your progress and doing some training stuff with you, and you know, I want to wish you best of luck.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Hope to see you guys in Vegas.
We will see you then.
We'll see you there.
Take care now.
All right, John, we had a great show, man. I got to just say, I love talking to Victor Conte. He's just like a real character. We could have him on every week, probably. We wouldn't get a word in edgewise, but I think he's really entertaining.
actually, he wasn't as loquacious today as he usually is. I mean, he usually can't get a word in edgewise. But, you know, and I wanted to read, we forgot to say anything during the course of the interview, but I just do want to remind all our listeners to make sure you click on the ZMA5 banner on the website and check out Victor's website and his products that he has and everything, because, you know, he is one of our sponsors. Along with being a good friend of ours, and I would like everybody to make sure they check out, you know, what he has to offer. Victor is one of those guys that you can hang out with and have dinner with, and end up talking in the restaurant until they throw you out of there at 3 o'clock in the morning because he's got. Yeah, we both have story after story after story. He's an amazing guy.
Yeah, did you see that picture I put up the other day? He had sent me from his Tower of Power days.
Yeah,
I mean,
I never told you this. When I was living in upstate New York near Woodstock, I used to be into, you know, I was a major 70s funk fan, you know, back in the day, and I actually saw Victor play with Tower of Power in upstate New York.
Oh, really? Wow.
At a little club in Woodstock called the Joyous Lake, and Victor actually remembers it, and
shit, that's funny. He looked exactly the same, just with hair.
What's that?
He looked exactly the same, just with hair.
Yeah, and that his mustache was longer. But that band cooked. That was a huge band. They had a huge horn section, and they were tight, and they're really, really, really good. If anybody's into funk, man, you've got to know Tower of Power.
Well, he's an interesting character. And you know, I really like Lee Banks, too. I kind of can relate to him almost. He doesn't get the credit he deserves for his physique.
Right.
Maybe because he's not out there marketing himself quite as much as strongly as some of these other guys. But, you know, the guy works. He owns 3 daycare centers. He works, you know, he works his ass off. He trains at the gym. He's got a family of his own. I like him. He's a good family guy, and I think he's good for the sport.
I do, too, and Lord knows, maybe after his appearance here tonight, he'll have a contract next week.
You never know. You never know who's going to do that. So, like I said, we had a great show, John. Let's just count our blessings that we had the weekend off, and I just want to wish everyone a happy 4th of July, and I want to thank our guests, Victor Conte and Lee Banks, for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.